Perek Lamed Vav. We're speaking about Yaakov Avinu's journeys after he ran away from his parents' house. So he's going to go to Haran and get married there, etc. He's going to go visit his uncle, Lavan. So the Perek starts off with quoting a pasuk, Mishlei. The pasuk says, Belechtecha, belechtecha lo yetzer tzadecha. When you're walking, your steps won't become narrow. And if you run, you won't stumble. So the Medrash says it's talking. This pasuk is talking about Yaakov Avinu and his travels. The steps of Yaakov Avinu didn't become narrow, and he never stumbled in his energy. Meaning, the way the Mar explains it, the way it naturally works is that if you're walking and you're walking and you're walking and you're walking for a very long time. So you start getting weaker, and you start taking like smaller steps because you just don't have so much koyach anymore. But that's not true about Yaakov Avinu. Even though he was traveling a long distance, but as we said at the end of the last parak, Yaakov Avinu had kfitzas aderech to get to Haran. Not like the Gemara that said that he had kfitzas aderech to get back to Har HaMoria, but he had kfitzas aderech on his way to Haran. So when he got there, he wasn't like tired, and he wasn't like walking slowly. He was his energy wasn't sapped, wasn't stumbled. Okay, so Yaakov gets there and he sees an assembly of all the different shepherds, and they're hanging around by the well. And you know, the pasuk says that he asks them, like, "What are you doing? You're hanging around by the well? Like, you should be like working. You can't just be like hanging around on the job." He said, "Oh, we're waiting for everyone to get together because there's this big rock on top of the well, and we want to feed our flocks. And in order to get rid of this big rock, we need all the shepherds' help to get to do it." Says in Medrash, "Ucha giber koyach golal es ha'eben me'al pi ha'be'er." Like a really strong person, Yaakov Avinu rolled the rock or the stone from upon the well. He got rid of it very easily. "V'yisa ha'be'er oyla v'shefeches mayim chutzulay." And the well sprung up and was pouring out water from outside. The water just came up and started like gushing out for Yaakov Avinu. Special names. V'ra'u ha'royim v'samu kulan. And the shepherds saw this and they were all wondering and they were astonished. What were they astonished about? So the Marzu says like this. The Marzu says, well, two things. First of all, because they were astonished that when he got the rock off of the well, so the well started gushing out and all the water came up for Yaakov Avinu. That's one thing. The second thing is that usually, as we've said before, usually they have to wait for all the shepherds to come together, and as a collective effort, if all of them tried together, they could lift up this heavy rock and move it off of from upon the well. But over here, Yaakov Avinu, one person himself, was able to do the job that all the shepherds together collectively usually do.
And you said easily.
Easily. Like, it doesn't say easily over here.
Or caught eye.
There's another medrash that says that when Yaakov Avinu took the rock off of the on top of the well, says that it was like taking off a cap from a bottle. It was just grabbed it off.
Here's a question I just realized that might be a question. Why would they put it on there every time again? Why not just leave it off? Was it protecting from other roim that they didn't want here?
I don't know. Maybe they didn't want other shepherds.
They're a special group, and they're waiting for only they can.
Maybe they didn't want animals to get into it, or like to like die in it, or something. Maybe. Or they didn't want like little kids to play around and get hurt or something. I don't know. I don't know why dafka they would cover it all the time. There's nusach that we say. Beitfilas Geshem. We speak about this. It says, Yichad Lev V'gol Evan Mipi Be'er Mayim. Yaakov Avinu was Yichad Lev. He made some sort of unity in his heart. He gathered all his koyach V'gol Evan Mipi Be'er Mayim. That's the lashon of the Tfilas Geshem that we say in Shmini Atzeres. That's one chance. Either because the water came out, and also because that he was able to do it. And usually, it takes all of them to do it. V'loy hayu yichalin legalgel es ha'evin, and the shepherds weren't able to move the evin. They weren't able to roll the stone. V'yakov golol es alavade me'al pi ha'be'er, and Yaakov alone was able to remove the evin from upon the well. what's it saying over here? We just said that, sort of. So what's it adding over here? So Rabbi Leomi Izmir says a pshat like this. He says that after Yaakov Avinu was able to move the rock from upon the well, so the shepherds, you know, they felt threatened by him. Like, there's this big, strong guy, a new guy came into town, and, you know, he's showing us his boss. So they're like, you know what, we're going to show him. We're going to cover it, and then they're not going to be able, no one else is going to be able to use it. So then they wanted to cover the well again. And all of them came this time, and they all gathered together, and they all tried to lift the rock, and they weren't able to do it. And that's what they were astonished about. It illustrated the point clearer to them. They're like, you not just that usually it takes all of them. Now all of them gathered together, and they tried to move it, and they couldn't do it, even though usually they could. And Yaakov Avinu was able to do it, and he was only one person. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, this is a interesting shtickle over here. Call Mishu Nichnas Leir, any person who goes into a city, Umaitzei Me'orais Lefonov, and he finds young women in front of him, Darkoi Matzlachas Lefonov. His journey is going to be successful in front of him. So you go to the city and you see these young girls over there, so you're gonna be Matzliach. What's the meaning of this? What's the significance? I don't know. We'll see in a moment a little bit of a deeper understanding. But umenayin teina shukein. Where do we know this is from? Where do we know this is true? From where do we know this is true? Boyer, come and see. Me'eliezer Evan Avraham. From Eliezer, the servant of Avraham Avinu. Sha'ad shalei nichdas le'ir. Matza ne'ores yetzis lefanov. Right? We know before that Eliezer was sent by Avraham Avinu to go to Haran to go find the shidduch for Yitzchak, and before he even entered the city, he found the young women coming out in front of him. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, "Hinei nechi nitzaval ein hamoyim ubnois anshei ir." Right, yaitzas lishemayim. They were coming out to draw water. For Kadosh Baruch Hu hitzeich darkei, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu made his journey successful. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, "VaHashem hitzeich darkei," and Hashem made my path and my journey successful. So you see, one example is Eliezer. He went out and he saw these girls in front of him, and he was matziach. Va'oi, mimiat olamim, and from who else do you learn this? From Moshe Rabbeinu. Shaz le'nichlas le'ir matzah ne'ores yetzis lefanav. Because before Moshe Rabbeinu went to the city wherever he was going, he found these young girls in front of him. Shnemer uluchein midyan sheva banis. Right, uluchein midyan had seven daughters. And he went to the well, and he saw these women at the well. V'yitzich tarkoi, and Moshe Rabbeinu was successful in his path. V'olol melucha, and he went up to the royalty. He became a king. Moshe Rabbeinu became a king. That's his big success. Moshe Rabbeinu became a king. It's still difficult because, I mean, that's Moshe Rabbeinu's big success, that he became a king. He's Moshe Rabbeinu. He took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. You know, the Torah was given through him. He was the greatest Navid that ever lived. Those are like the big miles of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was a king. Okay, there's a Gemara.
Isn't that what it means by king? I mean, wasn't a king.
Okay, Gemara. Gemara says,
all those things are...
There's a Gemara in Zvachim that says, Vayhi Bishur in Melech, Behisasev Rosh Om. There was in Yeshurin, meaning was in B'nai Yisrael, a king when the nation gathered. So what does it mean there was a king when the nation gathered? So the Gemara says, that's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was a king. Zvachim Daf Kuf Beis. Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a king. There are different halachas. Actually, I wrote a whole essay about this once. About Moshe Rabbeinu having a din of a king. In regard to all kinds of different things. He had halachic status of a king. Right, so it happens to be that this pasuk of Vayhi Bishur Melech, we say it in Malchios, in Shemoneh Esrei, on Rosh Hashanah, in Musaf. Right? And in that context, the Melech is referring to Hashem. There was a king in Bnei Yisrael when everyone gathered together. It's talking about Hashem. If we all gather together, we are Mamlech Hashem, so Hashem is the king. But it's not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. So Geshtigol Stira. The Radal points this out, and a few other Mepharshim also I found elsewhere pointed out. But Moshe Rabbeinu had the halachic status of a king, but it's funny over here that it focuses on the fact that he was Olo L'Meluha. We'll get back to this in a moment.
From the fact that he was, he walked and found young girls?
No, we're saying,
became king, meaning it says, V'od. V'od Mimi Echad Lamed.
What? Meaning, we said a rule that if you're on a journey and you find young girls in front of you, so you're going to be successful in your journey.
And right? Here it's relating to that, isn't it?
Yeah. So he was Moshe Rabbeinu was on a journey, and then and he became successful. He saw young girls, and he became successful.
So what's the there's a connection between his kingship and this.
Not that there's a connection between it, just that we see that someone who encounters young girls on his way, he becomes successful.
Simen Tov.
Okay. Yeah, that's Mahalach, that it's a Simen Tov. We'll have to explain exactly why it's a Simen Tov, but... Okay, and then the third example. Minayin Teid Alecha Shukin. From where do we know that this is true? Boyu Re'ei, come and see. From Yaakov Avinu. She'ashal Nechnas Le'ir, before Yaakov Avinu came into the city, to Choron, Matzah Ne'oreis Yotzeis Lefanov. He found the young women coming out in front of him. Shinam, it says in the pasuk, "V'inei Rachel bitoi ba'al imatzoin." Right, Yaakov was he inquired of the shepherds. Do you know Lavan? Have you heard of Lavan ben Nachor? How's his family? And they said, "Yeah, we know Lavan. He's doing good." No? Oh, and look, his daughter's coming out with the sheep. She was because she was a shepherd, which we'll speak about in a few minutes. But she was a shepherd. And so you see that the girls coming. Okay, here it's one girl, but at least the girls are coming out at the time. Yeah. Okay, so we had the ha'ara about Moshe Rabbeinu that he was Olam Luch. The Mufarshim point out another interesting question. There's a fourth example of a person who was going on a journey somewhere, encountered girls, and then he was successful. Who's that? Right, we said Eliezer, Moshe, Yaakov. Who's the fourth person? I'll give you a hint. It's in Sefer Shmuel. It was Shalom. Shalom, before he became king, so he was a shepherd for his father, Kish, and when his father lost some of his animals, and he and his friend went out to go look for the animals, and they couldn't find it, and then his friend tells him, "No, the Navi Shmuel, he's going to be in this. He's visiting this town today or whatever. So maybe we'll go speak to Shmuel and we'll ask him about it." It's interesting, it's Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. What was he going to ask him? The Rambam, I think in his Hakdama to Pirshei Mishnayos, Rambam writes that he was asking him, where are those lost sheep? Because like you ask a Navi, it's like a kosher form of divination. That's what the Rambam says. Rashi says that he was going to ask him, what Avera did I do wrong that I was punished that Hashem took away the sheep and I wasn't able to find it? Akapanim, he was going, so he's like, okay, yeah, let's go ask, we'll go speak to Shmuel Navi. Right? So they're going and they enter, they're at the entrance to the city, they see like a bunch of girls, and they ask the girls, like, hey, is this the place where Shmuel Navi is? And then the girls give this whole long, incoherent answer, but they basically say yes. I think Rashi over there says that, like, that's the derech of women, that, like, because Shlomo Melech was a very good-looking guy, so, like, they wanted to, like interact with him for longer. So, like, they just, like, started darshaning and, like, talking about, like, yeah, Shmuel Navi, he, like, goes around, and he's going to be here, because he has a korban, and he wants to bring some sort of korban, and, like, they start darshaning, and the point is that he met them, and they told him, yeah, Shmuel Navi is going to be here, and then he goes, and he meets Shmuel Navi, and then, in the meanwhile, Hashem tell Shmuel Navi and says, listen, I'm sending this guy named Shol ben Kish to you, and he's going to ask you about his sheep. You should make him the next king. So like that was his whole hatzlacha. It was right in that story. Right? So you see over there, another example of a guy who's going on a journey, and he finds women at the entrance of the city, and he was Matzliach. So how come our man over here doesn't mention Shol Melech? It only mentions Eliezer, Moshe, and Yaakov. So... the Radal asks this question, and the Radal says, I think it's a partial deterrent. The Radal says, what's the common denominator between the stories of Eliezer, Moshe, and Yaakov that you don't find by Shaul HaMelech? By Eliezer, Moshe, and Yaakov, the common denominator is that not only did they meet these young girls and then they were Matzliach, but they also married one of those young girls. Or one of those young girls was the one that they used for marriage. Yeah, Eliezer didn't marry her, but she was the girl, Rivka was the girl that he took to marry for Yitzhak. And Moshe Rabbeinu, that's where he met Tzipora. And Yaakov, that's where he met Rachel, right? So that's the girls that they married. But Shaul, we don't find that he married any of those girls. So like, it's sort of a different idea. Mm. Okay, but that's a chiluk that the Radal says. It's a chiluk, but it's not, doesn't really answer the question so much, because the Medrash didn't say that we're talking about dafka if you marry the girl. Right? So there's a shtickle kasha on the Radal. Rabbi Leo Meizmir says a different part. He says, no, I'll tell you why we didn't mention Sholomach. The reason why we didn't mention Sholomach is because it's not called such a hatzlacha that he became king, because the kingship didn't continue in his family. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, it went, you know, maybe one of his sons or one of his grandsons became king afterwards. You know, it didn't really last so much longer, and David HaMelech became the real king of Bnei Yisrael. Right? So Sholomach, the fact that he became king, that you wouldn't call that such a hatzlacha. That's what the Rabbi Leo Meizmir says. L'maisa, the Radal, and also the Baisa Godol you have on the bottom, and Rav Chaim Falachi in Parachad, all these Meforshim, they bring down from the Yalkut and other Girsois of Pirkei d'Eliezer. Over there, Itaka says Shol also. After we talk about Eliezer, it says Eliezer, and then I think Moshe, and then it says Shol, the story of Shol. And the Radal even wants to say that when these words of V'olah L'Melucha wasn't really talking about Moshe, it was talking about Shaul, that whole section sort of got cut out for some reason. V'olah L'Melucha is really the end of the talking about Shaul. That's not really talking about Moshe, which would answer our difficulties before that. You know, that's not the Iker success of Moshe, it wasn't that he became king. The Iker success was all the other things that we said.
And then it says here that if it didn't say that he became king, it said Gedola.
Right, Olah L'Gedula.
L'Gedula, which is makes more sense.
Great, that's right.
He went to greatness. He became great.
And then I found also the Klei Yakar in the Klei Yakar of Shmuel Anado on the Shmuel Aleph Perek Tes by the story of Sholem Elach. So he brings an interesting thing. He says that in the Lashon of the Pasuk is that they found the girls. They went to the city and Matsu Na'aras. They found the girls. It's like, what's this lush of Matsu? They found it. Like, finding it is something like, if I'm looking for something that, you know, if you found the sheep that he was looking for, so you say that you found the sheep. What do you mean you found the girls? You weren't looking for the girls. What was this lush of Matsu? Matsu Na'aras. So, Klei Yakar says, Tupshatam. He says, one is that Matsu is something, like the Gemara says, that, the Gemara says that a metzia is something that you find mihesach hadas. What's a metzia? A metzia is something that you find that you weren't looking for it, and like you happen to come across something. That's a metzia, right? Like it's like used colloquially, like you happen to like walk into a store and you find a good deal. That was a metzia. Right? You weren't looking for a good deal on such and such product. It's a windfall. Something that you know you had a certain siyata nishma you came across, but that wasn't what you were looking for. So the Klei Yakar says that when Shaul was going to the city, so there's a certain time of the day when usually the girls are hanging out in front of the city. So that when Shaul was going in, so it wasn't expected that you would see girls over there, but happens to be that you saw girls over there. So it was like matzu. That's one pshati says. The second pshati says is matzu. He says it's like kemaitze shal, it's like a lashon of kemaitze shalal rav, like a person who finds a great treasure, right? So he says the shalal malach, he found the great treasure, because he brings our Pirkei d'Eliezer. He says that just like it says in the Medrash that if you find girls outside, so you're gonna be successful. So now that shalal saw the girls outside, that he found his success through that. So that's what he found. He found his success as if he found like a great treasure. And he quotes our Medrash as talking about shalal malach as well. So the Klei Yakar also goes like that. Okay, so I said we're gonna talk about like what's the significance of like young girls or young women to why is that a siman toiv? Why is that a good omen that you're gonna be successful? So Rabbi Leo Meizmir speaks about it. He says sort of two ideas. He says the first idea is like this. He says that young women, he says, are free from averus. He says because usually if you have a woman who's already had or already, he says, Isha Shiyadah Mishkav Zachar, she has already had relations with the man, so then she would likely do things that with improper intentions or whatever, because that's just the nature of the way things work, and also a man also. Alright, so therefore we're talking about dafka somebody who's sort of pure from that type of involvement. It's all, especially, you know, man, boys, whatever. So even they're not clean from such averas, so dafka women. And he says that women are dafka clean from that. And he says, you see this idea spelled out, especially from the fact that of the 10 klolas that Hashem cursed Chava, that we spoke about earlier in Perek Yudalet, so many of those curses that Hashem cursed Chava don't apply to an unmarried woman. For example, one of them is Tzar Dam Besulim, so that doesn't apply yet to her. Or Tzar Heroin, when she becomes pregnant, that also doesn't apply. Tzar Leida, that doesn't apply. Tzar Gidul Banan, that doesn't apply, raising kids. Reisha Kfuya Keevil, she has to cover her hair like someone who's mourning, that doesn't apply. A bunch of these things don't apply to a Besula, to an unmarried woman, so therefore, if you, they're considered like free of Avera, so therefore if you meet them, it's like a good simon. It's like Kilo, like, I don't know what why it's a good simon exactly. I mean, it's like maybe from Shemayim they're showing you that like maybe you're free of Avera, you're free from curse or something like that. That's one malach. Second malach he says is that the idea of a Na'ara, of an unmarried woman, is we've spoken before in the past about the difference between the Mahalach of a Zohar and a Keva. The idea of a Zohar is to be Mashfia, to affect others, to influence, and the idea of a Keva is to accept that influence and work with it and process it and build it into something, you know, something greater and something more complete. That's the idea of a Zohar and a Keva. So is that a Naira, an unmarried girl, unmarried woman, is somebody who is destined to receive a certain hashpa, and she's waiting and hoping to get that special hashpa, right? So he says that when a person, when you bump into a nara on your way, so that's a special sign that in Shemayim you're like a nara. In Shemayim you're going to be receiving from Shemayim a special influence, a special hatzlacha from Hashem. You're going to be the object of the influence. Just like the Na'ara wants to be the object of some man's influence. Okay, let's go right there. Rav Huna Omer. Rav Huna says, before we say what Rav Huna says, the Radal has an interesting discussion of it. He says, Rav Huna, we made Rav Huna. Rav Huna's an Amora. We're talking about Pirkei Eliezer. Pirkei Eliezer was written by the Tana of Eliezer. So how can we be quoting Rav Huna, who's an Amora, who lived afterwards? And then he says, the Radal says, and don't tell me that this was added later on, because he says that in Targum Yonos, and it brings down this thing that we're going to say now also. So Targum Yonos, so he says, it came from Pirkei d'Eliezer, so you can't say that it was added on later on. So the Radal says, maybe there was a Tana named Rav Huna, or maybe it's supposed to say Rav Chanina, not Rav Huna, something like that.
But, and does the Rav mean he didn't have smicha, or it's mamash that's a total...
Oh, maybe it should say Rebbe Huna, something talent. Like that. Yeah, I don't know.
And then this would be the only time he ever showed up. Rebbe Huna.
Oh, he mentions, the Radal mentions that there was, in the time of Rebbe, in the time of Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, there was a Reish Kalusa in Bavel whose name was Rav Huna.
But still generations later.
It's still a generation, not generation, one or two generations later. But yeah.
Rebbe Eliezer was a few generations before.
Rebbe Eliezer?
Rebbe, wasn't he?
Let's see, Rebbe Eliezer was a Talmud. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer had a shtick with Rechus Yamin, but let's say Rabbi Eliezer was a contemporary of Rabbi Kiva.
But he was before Rabbi
Kiva. He was older than Rabbi Kiva, but he was a contemporary of Rabbi Kiva, okay. Yeah. And then Rabbi Kiva had a Talmud Rabbi Shimon, and I believe Rabbi Shimon was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's Rabbi.
Ah, okay.
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I think, was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's Rabbi.
Right there.
I don't know. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon was his Rabbi. I'm not sure. It's maybe two, three generations. Okay. Rav Huna, or whatever it's supposed to say, says, "Hakol safoy lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu." Everything is foreseen in front of Hashem. And meaning, Hashem takes care of all the details in history to make sure everything works out. Koydim shibo Yaakov l'Charan. Before Yaakov Avinu came to Charan, me also Kadosh Baruch Hu. What did Hashem do? Sholach magefa b'tzoynei shalavan. Hashem sent a magefa, a pestilence, some sort of disease upon the sheep of Lavan. Finishtayu ma'at maharbi, and only a little bit of them survived, remained. Mashahaisa Rachel Roya. What Rachel was able to shepherd. Because if Rachel was a young woman, you know, she wasn't so handy like a real manly shepherd, you know, in the prime of his life or whatever. So how is Rachel able to be such a shepherd of Laban's sheep? She was a young woman, young girl. So the Medrash is saying that no, Lavan didn't really have so much sheep. Shneimar says the pasuk Rachel ba imatzayin asher liaviha ki royahi. Right, Rachel was coming with the sheep of her father because she was a roya, she was a shepherdess. Meaning she is there. How do we know that only a little bit of Lavan's sheep remains? Shneimar v'yakov roya es sin Lavan hanaisarais. V'yakov Avinu shepherded Lavan's remaining sheep min hamakefa. What does it mean, remaining? Remaining from what? Remaining from this pestilence that affected, that previously affected the sheep of Lavan, Lavan's sheep. Now, the Mefarshim asks a good cash over here, because this pasuk of Yaakov Reyes saying Lavan Hanaisarais is really, it's talking about much later, when Yaakov was working for Lavan after he married Rachel, after he married Leah, after he had a bunch of kids, and after Lavan already had sons, right? And it says in the pasuk that Lavan and his sons would take some of the sheep and bring it, take it on their own, and then Yaakov would take the leftover sheep, saying Lavan Hanaisarais, the ones that were left over. So Hanaisarais in that context means the ones that are left over that Lavan and his sons didn't take care of. Right? So how could we darshan it and say, oh, Hanaisarais min hamagefa? It's left over from that pestilence that had affected it, you know, 20 years earlier. So the Radal asks this question. He has a whole richas about it. By the Marzu also asks it, he says like you darshan is like a made an Indian to now, to made an Indian to beforehand, which is always a very sure way of darshaning things, but it is a valid way of darshaning. Al Kulpanim, so we see that Hashem had already pre-planned everything and made it that Yaakov, that Lavan didn't have so much sheep, so that that Rachel will be able to be a shepherdess, so that she'll bump into Yaakov Avinu. Saba had a kasha. When I was reading this, I had a kasha, and my sense the answer is probably pretty pushit. So I'll just throw out the question, and you'll probably say the answer right away. Rashi in Chumash says that why was Rachel a shepherdess? Because Lavan didn't have any sons, therefore Rachel was a shepherdess. Yeah. Rashi Bereishis Paraglamed Pasuk Chav Zayin. Now the question is, does that contradict our Medrash over here? Our Medrash says, why was Rachel a shepherdess? Because Lavan didn't have so many sheep. Rashi says, Rachel was a shepherdess because Lavan didn't have any sons. So, let's ask it like this. Like, according to Rashi, yeah, if Lavan had a lot of sheep, would Rachel still be a shepherdess? Well, he didn't have any sons, so Rachel doesn't, right? Isn't that the implication of Rashi?
Yeah. Besides, it's weird because he was rich.
What?
You hire people.
Oh, so I think that's the answer. The Medrash and Rashi are coming to answer two different things. Rashi is coming to answer, you know, why would Lavan have one of his? Why would the Medrash is coming to answer, you know, why would Lavan not hire somebody to shepherd his sheep, you know,
and have his
why instead of having his daughter do it? No, she wasn't 3 year old.
She was 3 years old. Rashi says she was.
Rivka was three. Rashi.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Rivka was three. Rivka. The age of Rachel is not exactly so. Pasha Siddur Darius talks about it. I'm pretty sure that the mainstream halach is that Rachel and Leah were 22 years old when they got married.
Okay.
But Rashi says, what's like what Rashi says that the Medrash over here is saying, why is it that Lavan gave his sheep over to his daughter? Why didn't he hire somebody else? Yeah. That's what the Medrash is saying. And then the Medrash is answering, no, it wasn't so much sheep so he could give it over to his daughter. Fine. Rashi is answering a different question. Rashi is saying, why did he give over his sheep to his daughter and not to his son? And to that Rashi is answering, well, he didn't have sons. So I don't think it's a Sira B'chol. But let's go right there. Vayivorech Hashem Yisro L'Ragli. Lavan admits to Yaakov Avinu. He says to him, Vayivorech Hashem Yisro L'Ragli. Hashem had blessed me L'Ragli. Oh, one second. What's the pasuk going on? I forgot what the pasuk exactly is going on. I know, I think Yaakov is saying this to Lavan. Yaakov tells Lavan, Hashem blessed you, L'Ragli, because of me. Well, l'ragli literally means according to my foot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what does it mean that Hashem blessed Lavan according to my foot, according to the foot of Yaakov? You know, says the Medrash, v'chi raglav shel Yaakov l'harbeis l'harbeis tzoynei shel Lavan, is the foot of Yaakov going to cause to multiply and fruit, make fruitful the sheep of Lavan? Does that make any sense? The Yaakovina's foot is what causes it? I kind of know. From here we say, Yesh regel Adam mevarech espais, Yesh regel Adam machareve espais. From here we say that... Mosquito?
I don't know.
What?
Different. Something weird.
Okay.
I don't know.
To get the tea tree oil.
Yeah.
You ever heard of it?
Yeah, my wife has some.
Yeah, we have it.
Oh yeah, that works.
Yeah, it usually works. Last night, pumped it in, but... But yeah, but there's a foot of a person can bless a house, and the foot of a person can destroy a house. What does that mean? Says the Bais HaGadol, the foot of a tzaddik can bless a house. Meaning, when you have a tzaddik in your house,
his presence.
Hosting his presence.
The regular is
the presence of a tzaddik in your house as a guest or whatever. So that blesses the house. And there's a foot of a person who can destroy the house. And if I'm not mistaken, the Medrash does not say what we're talking about, that the foot of a person could destroy a house. It doesn't say it. But I would assume that it's talking about, you know, somebody who's like a shady guy or a bad person or whatever. Like, you know, if you bring such a guy to your house, you could be wrecking your house and destroying what you tried to build. V'hoya regel Yaakov mevarechas, the presence of Yaakov's foot, meaning the presence of Yaakov in Lavan's household, caused the bracha shenemar v'yivarech Hashem v'yizchol l'ragli. Hashem blessed you according to my foot, meaning according to my presence in your house as a guest. That was when Yaakovinu. That's what it was. This pasuk of Yaakov Avinu saying that Hashem blessed you because on my account, it was when Yaakov Avinu was telling Lavan, you know, I want to work for you and get money. That's what he was saying. V'chein Omar Lavan, and also Lavan said to Yaakov. Lavan said this to Yaakov Avinu later on at the end of the parasha when Yaakov Avinu runs away and he catches up to him. He says, "Nichashti v'yivarecheini Hashem biglalecha. I have divinated, and I realized that Hashem is blessed." Actually. Okay, I'm not sure about the context of these two psukim. I have to look it up again, and I don't have a chumash within reach. So, Yaakov Lavan himself admits, "Nichashti v'yivarech Hashem b'glalecha." I have divinated, used different ways, means of divination, and it came out that Hashem has blessed me on your account. So I admit that you are the one who's the source of my bracha. Lavan admits to Yaakov that Yaakov was the source of his bracha. Stam is an interesting. It's Yerushalmi. The Gemara Yerushalmi says there's a Babylonian Avodah Zarah called Nergal. It's the Babylonian Avodah Zarah, the god of the underworld. That's Nergal. The name, it's not mentioned in Tanakh as the name of Avodah Zarah, but it's mentioned as like a theophoric element. We have like names of people that have like Shem Hashem in it or other names of Hashem, right? Like Yehoyada has like Yud Kevav, right? Or like Tzuri Shaddai has like Shindalajit. So like there, even in the Goyish world, in the ancient world, so they would take elements of their God's names and put it as personal names. So like in Tanakh we have a character called Nergal Sharetzar, who was one of the people of Nebuchadnezzar. So Nergal it was the name of a Babylonian Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says that, what was this Nergal? What was that Avodah Zarah that they used to worship? So the Gemara says, Yerushalmi says, that it was the foot of Yaakov Avinu. Because the foot of Yaakov Avinu said, "Vayivarech Hashem Yischol L'ragli." Hashem gave you a blessing according to my foot. So you see that, and like the Havamina of our Medrash over here, there's the foot of Yaakov Avinu bring bracha. So these Babylonians, in their messed up understanding, understood that yeah, the foot of Yaakov Avinu brings bracha. So they had some sort of Avodah Zarah that was like the form of a foot or something, and represented the foot of Yaakov Avinu. And they assumed that they could get some sort of bracha from the foot of Yaakov Avinu. But kishishama Lavan as Shema Yaakov ben Achisoi v'choyach kivurasoi she'asa ala be'er. When Lavan had heard about the Shema, he heard about the hearing of Yaakov, and he heard the rumor that Yaakov was there, and he heard about choyach kivurasoi she'asa ala be'er, and all the great powers that Yaakov had by the well, they was able to move the rock. So Rots Lekrosai Lenashkoy Lechapkoy, he ran to go greet him, to kiss him, to hug him. Shinem, it says possibly Kishmoy Lavan Hashem Yaakov Ben Achisai Lugamer. It says when Lavan heard about Yaakov, we heard the rumor about Yaakov, so he went and he kissed, he ran and he hugged him and he kissed him, etc. The Radal says that this is coming Lafuke to exclude a different medrash. That Rashi, I think Rashi and Chumash brings the other medrash that says that that Lavan remembered that years before when Eliezer came to the house of Besuel, so Eliezer had, you know, 10 camel loads and all kinds of money and gold and silver and necklaces and bracelets and all these different things, right? So he assumed if Yaakov is coming, so he's also bringing all this stuff, right? So he ran to go greet him because he wanted his portion of the money. But the Radal says that our Medrash is saying no. Why did Lavan go run to greet him? Not because of the money, but because he recognized Yaakov as a warrior, as a good strong person or something. So he went in to go greet him.
Rashi was answering the question why he kissed him before he hugged him.
Yes.
And here it's not a question.
Right.
It's simply.
But Rashi said that he kissed him because he was checking in his mouth to see that maybe he's hiding the riches over there.
And he hugged him to see if he had around him.
Right. You know, when you're going through the airport security and they can take off your shoes, maybe you're hiding your riches over there. Vayayame Lavan Liyakov. Lavan said to Yaakov, Hachi, Hachi, Ato, Vavaratani Chinom. Are you my brother that you're gonna work for me for free? No, you should work for me, and we'll make arrangements. We'll make some sort of financial arrangements, right? I read it wrong. Vayemer Lavan LeYaakov. Lavan said to Yaakov, "Hachi achiyata. You're my brother. How can I let you work for me for free, right? How can I let my brother? So we're gonna have to make a deal. We're gonna try to make a deal here, right? It says the Medrash. V'chi achiv haya was Lavan Yaakov Avinu's brother. Was Yaakov Lavan's brother? Wasn't Yaakov Lavan's nephew? Not his brother, right? Yaakovinu's mother, Rivka, was a brother of, a sister, sorry, of Lavan, right? So Yaakovinu was the son of Lavan's sister. He wasn't his brother, he was his nephew. So why does it say, why does Lavan call Yaakovinu my brother? To teach you that a son of a daughter is called your son. So therefore, Lavan, even though he wasn't Yaakovinu's brother, he was really Yaakovinu's uncle, so he still called Yaakovinu his brother. Now, that doesn't make any sense, because I just read the message. No, he didn't call him his son, he called him his brother, right? Mufarshim say that. It's not supposed to say Binoy, it's supposed to say Achiv. Radal says that, Marzu says that, it's supposed to say that your nephew is called your brother. Now that your nephew is called your son. Uven achiv shaladam ki achiv. Now, not only is your sister's son considered like your brother, but your brother's son is also considered like your brother. And we're going to bring a proof to that. How do we know that your brother's son is called your brother? You know what? This doesn't make any sense. I think that this doesn't make any sense. But we have to say that we're not really bringing a proof to you that your brother. It does. Okay, fine. Never mind. Scratch it. Yeah. How do we know that your brother's son is considered like your brother? From Avram Avinu, Shama Leloit. Avram Avinu said to Leloit, Al Nasihi Meriva, right? Don't let there be a fight between us. Ki Anoshim Achim Anachlo, because we are brothers. This was when there was a fight between the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Lot. So Avram said, let's not make a fight. We're brothers. We'll go in different directions so that there won't be a fight. Because of Echad Eimer, and another pasuk says, "Vayishma Avram Kinishma Achiv." Avram heard that his brother was captured, even though it's talking about Loit, and Loit wasn't his brother. Was Loit his brother? Wasn't Lot Avram Avinu's brother's son? Because Lot was the son of Haran, who was the brother of Avram Avinu. Rather, it's coming to teach you Ben Achiv Shel Adam Ke Achiv, that a person's brother's son is like his brother. So even though Lot was only Avram Avinu's nephew, not his brother, still the Torah calls Lot his brother because your nephew is like your brother.
I don't know if this is interesting, but last 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
What parsha is it? Bahar. Emor, last week.
Yeah.
We learned that what a Kohen can and cannot be metame for. We learned what a Kohen. And one is his ach.
Right.
But not a ben dod.
Right.
I wonder. We don't learn that ach there could mean also ben dod. Maybe it's not.
Okay. So,
I don't know if that's interesting or not. But it might not be interesting at all.
I'll tell you this. There's a similar thing.
But it's interesting what we're saying here.
Yeah.
What are we saying here? Gvaldik, so let him call him Zach. Well, who cares? What significance is that?
There's a Gemara Yevamos in the second part. Towards the beginning of the second part. The Gemara has a Hava Amina. You know what Yevam is, right? Yevam is you have two brothers, and one of them dies. Right, so the older brother or whatever, one of the brothers is who's alive is obligated to marry the wife of the deceased brother, the almana, the widow of the deceased brother. Right, fine. So the Gemara has a havamin over there that it's not just a fraternal relationship with two brothers that if one of them dies, you're supposed to marry the other one, but also we should learn from Avraham Avinu and Lot that also this relationship of Ben Achiv is going to be the same thing. And the Gemara says, no, we don't say that. But I don't remember exactly what the drasha is, but we don't say that. But the Gemara says, have a minute that we would say it, and the Gemara says, no, we don't say that. And that's an interesting thing that the Gemara says that the Gemara has this Havamina that by Ben Achiv you would also do Yibam. Rashi explains it like this. Rashi says that what's the Havamina? That just like you do it for your brother, so you would also do it for your uncle. Right? If your father's brother he dies, so you're supposed to marry your father's brother's wife. Right? So in our case, it'd be like, you know, if Avram would die, so then Lot would have to do Yibam to Avram's wife. Kilo, like that, right? Fine. The Ramban explains it the opposite way. The Ramban says that, what's the Havamin of the Gemara? The Havamin is that if your nephew dies, so then the uncle is supposed to marry the nephew's wife. Meaning, like if in our case, it'd be like, if Lot would die, so Avram Avinu would marry Lot's wife. Right? So it's two ways of looking at it. Right? There's a havamina that it's called in English, it's called an avunculate relationship. I once wrote a paper about it, so that's why I know the word. Avunculate relationship is the relationship between an uncle and his nephew, or an uncle and a niece. Right? So the havamina is that it's not only Yibam is not only fraternal, but it's also an avunculate. Kamash Shalom, we don't say that. But what was the Havamina? So Rashi's Havamina was that the nephew should do Yibum to the uncle's wife. And the Ramban says the Havamina was that the uncle should do Yibum to the nephew's wife. Right? Mm-hmm. So what's the difference? So I came up with the Geshvakavart. Then I saw the Rav Moshe Feinstein writes this down also. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? Okay, the difference would be like this. In a normal circumstances, are you allowed to marry your father's brother's wife?
No.
No, she's an Arab, right? She's called
two psukim almost. Right? A few weeks ago.
It's called Eishes Achi Aviv. Yeah, right? It's an Arab. Right? Now, are you allowed to marry your brother's son's wife? Yes. There's nothing wrong with that, right? So, Rav Moshe says, Baruch Shekita, there's a lashon of a piyut in Parshas Parah for Parshas Parah, it says, the lashon of Piyut is that basically that from the Isser of Eishes Ach comes the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay? See, we can understand from that that the Yisoid of the mitzvah of Yibum, like the whole Yisoid, the foundation of the mitzvah is that it's coming to give you permission to do something which is otherwise forbidden.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the Yisoid of the mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
So now, when we have a Havamina that it applies also to this avunculate relationship, not just to a fraternal relationship, so then what's the Havamina? Rashi explains that the Havamina is that the nephew would do Yibum to his uncle's wife. Because the uncle's wife is usually a Mitzvah Erva. And the Mitzvah of Yibum is coming to tell you that something that's usually Osir, in this case, is Mutter. That's how Rashi understood it. The Ramban understood, no. The Havamina is that the uncle would do Yibum to the nephew's wife. Nephew's wife is always Mutter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Ramban disagreed with this idea that the Yisoid of Yibum, of the Mitzvah Yibum, is to be Mutter and Isser. The Ramban understood there's something else underlying the Mitzvah. That's what I wanted to say, and then I found in information, Dibra Sumashim Sachas Yavamas, I wrote this down in my Sefer Yavamas, the information says the same thing. Then afterwards I found Rav Nochum Partzovitz, the Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir, so in his Sefer Yavamas, he also notes this difference between Rashi and the Ramban over there, and he says that, yeah, okay, each one, there's two examples that you could have given, and each one chose one of two examples, but not that there's any use. Fundamental difference between Rashi and Ramban. But Ramesh has a geshmak of word, and it's a good word. Al Kapanim, we said over here that Loit is called the brother of Avram Avinu. You can say he's called the brother, but he doesn't have a halachic status of a brother, right? He's just called the brother. Loit is called the brother of Avram Avinu. We brought two psukim to support that. One is when there was a fight between the shepherds, and then he said, Anasi Merivo, the Ki Anoshim Achim Anachnu, were brothers. And the second pasuk is that when Loit was captured, so and I guess Oig or whatever, maybe it's picking up as I understand it was Malach Michal or whatever, tells Avram Avinu, says Vayishma ki nishba achiv. Avram Avinu heard that his brother was kidnapped, was taken captured. So the shaila is the Radas, the shaila. Why does the Medrash have to bring two pasukim? Just bring one pasuk. We said ki anashim achim anachim. We're brothers. Okay, so you see that they're brothers. Why do we have to bring another pasuk of ki nishba achiv? The Radal asks this question. So Radal says that, because the first pasuk, it could be you could explain that pasuk Yaakov Avram Avinu was being nice. There was a fight between the shepherds of Avram and Loit, so Avram wanted to be nice, and he was saying like, let's not fight. We're brothers. He didn't literally mean we're brothers. He was just saying that was a nice way of showing camaraderie between them, but not that they're really brothers. So the Medrash brought the second pasuk of Kinishba Achiv, because who's talking over there? Who's speaking? Who calls Loit Avram Avinu's brother in this pasuk? Kinishba Achiv. Who is speaking? It's the narrator. Who's the narrator of the Torah? That's Hashem. Hashem is calling Loit his brother. It wasn't Stan being nice. Hashem is saying it. So that's why I brought the second pasuk. Now, of course, with using our Gemara logic, now we should reverse the question back on the Radal. So what? So now you told me why after the first pasuk we brought the second pasuk. So why do we need the first pasuk? Bukhal, just bring the second pasuk. It's a much better pasuk.
No.
Okay, I would say that the Gemara. Okay, whatever. Maybe the Medrash is bringing all the pasukim where you see it. Not that the second one is a better raya. Just stop. We're bringing all the pasukim where you see this idea. Fine. Weiter. Not only is your nephew like your brother, whether it's a nephew who's, well, let's call it a fraternal nephew and a sororal nephew, right? But also we're going to say similarly, uvnei banav shel adam kebanav. A person's sons are considered like his sons. Uminayinu lemaiden, where do we learn that from? From Yaakov Avinu. Sh'amar, Yaakov Avinu said, Ephraim and Menashe, Keruvim and Shimon Yuli. Ephraim and Menashe, who were Yosef's sons, they were Yaakovina's grandsons, Keruvim and Shimon Yuli. They should be like Reuven and Shimon, who are Yaakovina's sons. So you see that a person's sons are considered like his sons. Right? Because Yaakovina is equating his grandsons with his sons. The Medrash said, were they his sons? They were his grandsons. Were they not his grandsons? Rather, it's coming to teach you that a person's grandsons are like his sons. And then Gemara brings this down in Yevamos, in the sixth parak, and it makes halachic ramifications in regarding the mitzvah priya uriviya, that if a person has grandkids and he doesn't have children, he was already mekayim the mitzvah. A person has kids, and then they get married and have kids and he has grandkids, and then let's say the kids die. Right? So all he has is grandkids, and he doesn't have any kids. Was he mekayim priya uriviya or not? So the Gemara says, yeah, because b'nei banav kebanav. Uvnei b'nois of shel adam kebanav. And also, that a person's, the sons of a person's daughter are also like your kids, right? We just said grandsons mean your son's children, your son's sons. How about grandsons meaning your son's, your daughter's sons? Where do we learn that if you have grandchildren from your daughter, and then let's say you don't have any kids, you're mekayim priya uriviya? Which exactly how that works is a little bit more complicated than the way I said it. You look at Ebn Ezra Siman Aleph, which where it speaks about has to be grandkids from two different kids, whatever. Minayin, where we learn that your daughter's sons are like your sons. Milavan, we learn that from Lavan. Shamar liYakov, Lavan said to Yaakov, "Habonais b'naisai, v'banim bonai v'atzayin tzayni." Lavan said to Yaakovinu that when after Yaakovinu ran away and then he caught up to him, he said, "Habonais b'naisai, the daughters are my daughters, v'banim bonai, the sons are my sons, v'atzayin tzayni, and the sheep are my sheep." V'chibanov hayu, were the sons really his sons? It wasn't really his sons. Right? Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, they weren't really Lavan's sons. They were the sons of his daughter. Right? Rachel and Leah had all these kids, and Lavan is saying that these kids really belong to me. So what does it mean that he was saying that the kids belong to him? They weren't really his sons. They were really his grandsons from his daughter. Rather, it's coming to teach you that a person's sons from his daughters are tantamount to his sons. That's what the Medrash over here says.
So we've learned both that the sons of your sons,
right,
are your sons, and the sons of your daughters are like your sons.
Right.
Why both? What's the Havamina that we have to learn the two out?
I don't know, but we had the same thing over here both earlier. We had the same thing earlier. We said that your nephew, meaning your brother's
from your
son, is considered like your brother, and you have your brother, your sister's brother's son is considered like your brother. Yeah, it's like, it's
also there, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, so the Gemara in Yevamos brings this as a Havamina. The Gemara has this as a Havamina. How do you know that your daughter's sons are like your sons? And the Gemara says that, brings this pasuk, Habanayis b'nai sa'i, b'nai b'nai v'atzayin tzayni. And it says, oh, it's it, b'nim or b'nai? What do you mean? It wasn't really his sons, it was his grandsons. You see that he's saying the truth, right? And the Gemara says, what do you mean? Lavan wasn't, who said Lavan was saying the truth, b'chlal? He says, v'atzayin tzayni, your sheep is really my sheep. But we know, so Yaakovinu stole it? You're going to assume that it's taka true? No, it's not true! The sons that Yaakovinu had, maybe they're not as attributed to Lavan because they're only from his daughter and they're not from his son. Maybe his son's sons, maybe it's only son's sons are like your son, but your daughter's sons are not like your son. How can you learn enough from Lavan? So the Gemara, I don't remember exactly what the Maskana of the Gemara is, but the Gemara says that there's a different source that tells you this. And if I'm not mistaken, it could be that one of the opinions of the Gemara learns out from Ephraim and Menashe, both your sons, your grandsons from your son and your grandsons from your daughter. There's no difference. That's similar to like what you were asking. But let's just finish this off. How long is it? What time is it now? 10:15? Okay, well, it's still less than an hour. But I think we'll just do a little bit quickly. There isn't so much to say over here. La'achar sheva shanim, after 7 years, also, no, I'm sorry, Hiskel Yaakov la'avid b'isha sheva shanim. Yaakov Avinu, who started to work to marry one of the girls for 7 years, la'achar sheva shanim, also sheva simei mishte, after the 7 years, he ended up marrying Leah, and he made a 7-day party, v'simcha, v'lokach es Leah, and then he married Leah, shenemar malei shuvah azayis. It's a little bit out of order, because you're saying he made the 7 days of mishta after he married Leah, but okay, whatever. Then he said, I want to marry Rachel, is the malei shuvah azayis, finish off this week, and then you can marry Rachel. Vayas Yaakov Cain, v'y malei shuvah azayis, he finished off that week. V'ayin ha'yisiv shiva yomim mishta v'lokach es Rachel. Ah, that's what it is. There were 7 days before he married Leah. They partied for 7 days before he married her. Then he married her, and then they partied for 7 days afterwards. And then he married Rachel. Shinemar v'itin le'yisrachel bitoy. That's the...
It was another week after? Wasn't it another 7 years?
Seven days after. And then when he met Rachel, he said, look, I'll marry her now and then work for the 7 years after. He's not going to be tricked the same way twice, right? So, okay, first Laban said to him, okay, if you want to marry Rachel, work for me for 7 years and then marry her, right? At the end of the 7 years, so I guess before he married her, they made a week-long party. Then he married her, and turns out, oh, it was really Leah. Right? So he said, okay, fine, we'll finish Sheva Rachel, so another week-long party after you marry her, but then you'll marry Rachel. So after that week, he married Rachel, and then he said, okay, but when you marry Rachel, you have to work for me for another 7 years, after you marry her. This time it's after. Because Yaakov wouldn't fall for, you know, work 7 years, and who knows what's going to happen then.
And then the seven, and then another 7 years.
What? Then he would stop working for her.
And then he would stop working for her.
Right. Well, he would stop working for Lover, yeah.
For him. Okay.
That wasn't seven. That was 6 years, but yeah.
That's the way. This is a drasha, or that's the pshat in the Torah.
That's pshat in the Torah.
Pshat in the Torah was after a shvua and not after od shiva shanim.
Yeah.
For.
Yeah, after 7 years, vayimali shvua zayis, he finished that week and then he married Rachel. Va'ed hayosef shev yom misha v'lokach es Rachel shenemar v'etin lei es Rachel bitoy, and he married Rachel. This next part appears earlier in Parak Tes Zayin as well. So we're already familiar with this. All the people of the place gathered together to do chesed with Yaakov. Right? They went to be mesamech l'chobsen. Shneamar v'yaseif Lovan as kol anshei habakov v'yas mishne. And Lovan gathered all the people of the city and they made a party. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem said, Gemaltam chesed im Yaakov avdi. You gave chesed. You did good kindness to my servant Yaakov. Because you went to be Mitzamech al-Choson, Afani etein lochem scharchem bo'el mazeb. So too, I will give you your reward in this world. Bishvil shelo yehein noyach l'rishoyim l'asad lovay. Because l'maisa, at the end of the day, these people in the city of Lavan were rishoyim. And so, but they did something good. So Hashem is going to give them their reward in this world, so that Hashem won't give them rest in olam haba. Hashem doesn't want to have to give reward to the Rishayim and Olam Haba, so he gives them the reward in this world. Shenema, it says in the Pasuk, V'Naamon Sar Tzva Melech Aram. Naamon was the general of the king of Aram, and etc. And it's referring to the fact that we spoke about in Parak Tes Zayin, that Naamon was the one who actually ended up killing Achav, who was the enemy of Aram. He was the one who he shot an arrow and it killed Achav, who was actually happened to be under disguise, because the Navi said that he was going to get killed in the war. Whatever. In Kitzur, so Naaman had a certain special siyata d'shvaya that he was able to kill Achav as a reward for the fact that the people of Aram gathered together to do Simchas Chosen when Yaakov Avinu got married.
That's interesting. The schar that they achieved was for many generations.
Many generations later, yeah. Lokach, well, let's just do two more lines. Lokach Lovan Eshtei Shev Chosav Unuslan Eshtei Avinu Yisav. Lavan took his two shivchas, his two maidservants, and he gave them to his two daughters. V'chi shivcha yisav hayu, were Bilhah and Zilpah, were they really his two maidservants? V'haloi b'nei yisav hayu, weren't Bilhah and Zilpah really the daughters of Lavan? Ela l'lamercha shebanav shal adam mipilag shay nikru shivchas. Rather, it's coming to teach you that a person's children from his concubine are called maidservants, even though they're not technically maidservants, but they're called maidservants because they're not from the main mistress, they're from a concubine, a side wife. Shemar says, the mother love and the bitoy, etc. He gave them Bilhah and Zilpah, and the mashmas of that Bilhah and Zilpah were the daughters of Lavan, so we know that Yaakovina married four daughters of Lavan, and Ezra Shem, next week we will see how they have children, and a good to go.
Good to go.